visiting with us, family and friends, perhaps some folks from the community. So thank you for coming. I'm going to start this morning and I want to pray. So if you'll join me, let's pray together. Lord, we come to you this morning and we want to thank you for your gift. We celebrate this time of year and giving of gifts to each other and receiving gifts from folks, and it's really is a great spirit in our culture, really across our nation during this time. And it's oftentimes, honestly, a breath of fresh air to a culture that's so busy, in a culture that can be so divided over many different issues. And yet, during this time of year, we thank you for this spirit. And really, that spirit is rooted in and grounded in Jesus Christ, who is and was and ever shall be the greatest gift ever given to any human ever. And so, God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for that great, unspeakable, matchless, magnificent, wonderful gift, the holy gift, the human gift, the God-man gift that you gave us, and the birth of Jesus. And so we recognize this morning who you are, the gift that you gave us, and what that gift ultimately provided. And so, Lord, we thank you for you. Honestly, God, this day is met with mixed emotions for some here in this family. For some, it's a difficult time and the memories that it stirs. And so I pray for those this morning that are thankful for the gift, that are believers, that know you, but it still presents a difficult day for them. And so I uplift them to you and ask that you would give them the gift of comfort this morning, of hope, of joy, despite the circumstances and the memories that invade their hearts and minds, even today. Lord, I thank you for the young children here today and for the gifts that they've received and will receive. And I pray that they would, even at a young age, never be clouded in their minds as to what this time of year is really about. And now, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that you didn't leave us, Lord, without instruction, without a letter, without talking to us. But we have your infallible word. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning as we look at your word, you would encourage us. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 42 and 43, we see three times the psalmist reflect with us and talk about hope. Talk about hope and this culture that we live in. And I think we hear a lot about hope during this time of year, don't we? The Christmas hope, there's cantatas and plays, and there's Christmas cards about it, and there's shows on the TV, and which seems like Dean Cain stars in every one of them. And all of these different things that have to do with hope. There's the hope that I just learned this morning, the hope that this sermon will end sooner than later. There's the hopes. There's all different sorts of and types of hope that we have in life. And hope is a good thing. I shared this with you one time. or maybe a couple times, but I've shared this illustration with you before. I have a brother who does not believe in Christ, and he does not believe in God. He thinks it's all a farce, and he thinks it's fake. And he looked at me one time as I was sitting across the table with him as we went out to lunch together not too many years ago, and he said, "You know, the only good thing you do is you give people hope." Now, it's not a hope in something real, but it's a hope nonetheless. And I wish, and if my brother ever listens to this, I hope and pray that someday that he'll understand what Christmas hope is really all about. One of the things that was driven in my head in Bible college was that people are dying and going to hell every day. And it is my hope that they will see, whether they're our neighbors, our coworkers, that they will see, our family members, they will see hope. In the book of Psalms, the psalmists, the collective psalmists really write these psalms, and there's a few times where he talks and he asks this question. And so I want to look at that this morning. So if you look at Psalm 42, starting in verse number 5, the psalmist says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God." You go down to verse 11 of chapter 42, it says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God." And in the same, this couplet here in Psalm 43, if you look at the last verse 5, it says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God." Who needs hope? How do we get hope? Where does it come from? Is God pleased with hope? Is hope something that should be part of our life? You know, what is this hope? What is this thing that we call hope? And I want to look at three things this morning. First of all, what is hope? You know, as is with many words in our vocabulary, hope carries some different nuances and different meanings. For instance, one of those meanings is, can you think of the young boy? I think of my son back there, Ethan. And Ethan often asks me for a knife or a gun. And so he often asks me that. His hope is that he'll get a knife or a gun someday. Right now, it's if he's responsible, he says, "When I'm 16, right, Dad?" "Yes, when you're 16. Will I get that drone for Christmas? Or will I get that whatever for Christmas?" There's this hope that one will get something for Christmas, especially when you're a little kid or maybe a bigger kid. But you hope that you get these things. For some might say, "The only thing I really want for Christmas is peace in my family. I want there to be a joy." And many of you are getting together and going to have these big family celebrations. And sometimes there's not so good fireworks when you get all together, right? And you just hope that there will be peace. No matter what the illustration is, there are some who think that hope is just or nothing more than, "I'll get this pocket knife for Christmas someday." He doesn't know for sure. It's the person who doesn't know if the family will get along, that it's really an unknown. So when we look at the Psalms, and the psalmist is talking here in a collective voice, really this voice can be our voice, where we feel like our soul is cast down. Have you ever been there? Sure you have. And newsflash, you're going to be there again someday. Our children don't always make the decisions that we hope that they would make. Our bodies are not 20 years old any longer. Sometimes the financial stresses of life and the roof is leaking and the car goes, and it all happens at the same time. And so we have all of these stressors of life at time, just as these psalmists reflect and they say, why is all this turmoil in life coming up? And he responds three times as he reflects, hope in God. This is the biblical picture, really. Does the psalmist here, when he talks about it, what is the biblical picture? Is he talking about uncertainty in God? What does this psalm teach us? Is there really that the only potential in life that we have when it comes to these types of things is really the only potential that we're going to be left in want, that we're going to realize that life is going to be unrealizing, that this really is all that there is just this wish for the pocket knife? What is God communicating to us in this passage? The book of Hebrews really does a good job of addressing this and talking about this. There's three passages in Hebrews. Listen to this. In Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible says, "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness and to have the full assurance of hope until the end." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Hebrews chapter 11, that famous verse in verse 1, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of those things that are not seen." You see, our faith is grounded in the conviction of things that are not seen. This is hope. Our faith is to be without wavering. It's with full assurance and with conviction. When we talk like that, when we understand what the Hebrew writers are saying about what hope is, and we understand the biblical definition of hope, we know that it's not a hope where we are left in want. It's not a hope of uncertainty. It is a hope of full conviction and assurance. And so when we understand what God is saying here, and we look back in the Psalms to that understanding of what God means when He says hope, these people who are cast down and in turmoil and wondering about life, And what does the next thing bring? You know what? They can rest assured and full assurance and conviction and faith that, you know what? I can waver until the end, and I can believe in God, and I can trust Him. That's what the Bible speaks of when it speaks of hope. Hope in the Bible is not, "I wish I could get a pocket knife someday. I wish that there's going to be family peace at the reunion come this spring." Really, the scriptures teaches us that hope is really, I like this definition. Hope is forward-looking faith. Hope is forward-looking faith. That's what hope is. It's being assured that the stuff that's going on now in life, politically, the stuff that's going on now in the Middle East, the stuff that's going on in our military, the stuff that's going on financially and socially, and all of these different aspects of life, that hope is we can be of full assurance, or we can have faith with conviction without wavering until the end. You see, hope is forward-looking faith. What God communicates to us is that we can confidently expect to see Him work in our lives. We can confidently expect for Him to answer. We can confidently expect that we will be victorious in whatever it is we face in life. We can confidently expect that we will survive those waves of life when we feel like our feet are dragging on the bottom of the ocean and we just can't keep our chin above the water. Hope is forward-looking trust in those times that we will overcome. Not just individually, but Berean, us as a church family, we can confidently expect God's going to work as we move forward. I'm excited about the future, are you? You can be sure that the evil one will work against us and will try to discourage, try to hurt us, try to interfere with us. He'll try to discredit us. He'll try to get us to fight each other. He'll cloud the main thing from being the main thing. All of these things have happened to us, and they will come again in the future. But we cannot just guess or wonder, are we going to get through these things? Are these things going to pass? Are we going to be okay? No, we don't have to act or live like that. Because that is not what hope is. Hope is about us. It's about forward-looking faith, about focusing on the future with eager and humble conviction. I hope that not only individually we have hope, but that we have hope as a body of believers. This is what the scriptures in the Hebrews teach us. They teach us these things. You know, what is the basis of that hope? If hope is forward-looking faith, and we know our life the way it is, and our culture the way it is, what really is the basis of hope? Where does it come from? You know, perhaps in one of those experiences in life that I used as an illustration, either at the beginning or throughout the message here, maybe you're experiencing the very thing that the psalmist is talking about here, and you were looking forward to confident victory, confident expectation. You were looking forward to, you were like, okay, I know that this is going to end, right? I know that this is going to pass. I know that, Nancy, the pain that you're feeling, right? January 5th cannot come soon enough, can it? That this too is going to pass, this pain. And that, you know, someday, Bev, you're going to be able to play tennis again with that other arm. Or arm wrestle. You and I can arm wrestle with our left arms. And you say, I've looked ahead. I've trusted. And you know what? God just never showed up. I mean, where did he go? What happened? God provided me no hope. And I don't really understand. You know, it is difficult to live a human life because sometimes we don't know when God is going to answer. And we don't know when things are going to get right again. And we don't know when, and you fill in the blank. We just don't know sometimes. You know, his timing is not always our timing, is it? Because we would have everything neat in this little box, wouldn't we? Everything would be good. Everything would be all, you know, tucked in and tidy, and everything would be good, and it would be happening when we want it. And sometimes we just wonder if God's just gone. And so the basis of our hope can really be shaken. But can I encourage you this morning? Colossians 1 tells us in verse 27 that Christ is in you. He is the hope of glory in you. That however, and that is an amazing concept and something to understand, that we are in Christ, but that not only are we in Christ, but that Christ is in us. And that Him, that Jesus Christ, who is the mystery that God provided for us. Remember Genesis chapter 3? We celebrate every Christmas Genesis 3. Do you understand that? Every Christmas. Remember, Jesus, God said, I'm going to send somebody someday who's going to deal a death blow to Satan. That day came, and we celebrate it today. Jesus, the birth of our Savior. Because His birth allowed His death. And that is an amazing, wonderful thing. And that after He died and He was resurrected, the day Sunday we celebrate His resurrection every week, just once a week, we know that we can, as Hebrews tells us, look unto Jesus, who is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. You see, what is the basis of our hope? Even when we think that God is a million miles away, the basis of our hope is, and always has been, and will be, Jesus the Christ. That is rock solid truth. And so even when we feel the waves of life crashing against us, and we feel like God's a million miles away, may we always understand and believe and know that Jesus Christ is our hope. He alone is our hope. That hope is not only Jesus Christ in us, as I said, but it's us in Christ. You see, our hope is rooted in this great union that we have with Jesus. When the Holy Spirit works at you in salvation, and when God draws you to Himself, He unblinds you. You're no longer blinded by your sin. But through His grace and through His mercy, you accept Jesus Christ alone in salvation. And then you get to see Christ and God. In Colossians chapter 2, this is amazing. Colossians 2 and verse 14 says, that very piece of paper, as it were, that writ against us. All of those convictions where it has your name at the top, Joe Hershberger, he is guilty of this and he is guilty of that. Where it says Joyce Bruni across the top, she is guilty of this. Where it says Becca, you are guilty. Where it says Matt, you are guilty. All of that was nailed to the cross and we were forgiven of our sins. You see, it's not just Christ and us, but it's us and Christ, and there's that unity in Christ. The legal demands of the death penalty, the spiritual death penalty, are no longer standing in the courtroom. They're nailed to the tree. God now looks at you as if you died with Christ. And therefore, since you died with Christ, you paid the penalty that you should pay. He now looks at you as if you are perfect in Jesus Christ. He looks at you as if you were raised from the dead to walk in newness of life. That's how God looks at you. That is our union with Christ. And believers, when life crashes against us and we are fighting sin and we just can't do it any longer, when that child or that person or that coworker or whatever gives us angst, may this encourage you that God looks at you as not guilty and that our hope can be rooted with Christ. Does not this union encourage you to have forward-looking faith? Does not this union, in other words, give you hope? You know, not only, we call this season the Advent season, right? We have Advent calendars. So my boys have been opening up an Advent calendar, the Lego one, the Star Wars Lego one. They get out the little Lego piece, the winter Chewbacca. You cannot have it, Andrew. You're not allowed to have it. The Jingle Bell C-3PO. They've been so excited. You know what Advent means? What's it mean? Coming, right? It means coming, beginning, coming. You know there's going to be a second Advent? Christ is coming back. Is that not encouraging? He is coming again. Just as He came the first time, well, He'll be older this time. But as He comes again, He's coming again the second time. Does that not give you hope for the future? Does that not encourage you, whatever's going on in your life? You see, Jesus Christ is our hope, and we're unified with Him. There's a union with Jesus Christ. Not only individually, but as I make application to us. You know what the Bible says about Berean Bible Church? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, Matthew 16, 18, the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. There's nothing that the evil one can ultimately do against this church. Man, that's encouraging. To know that we walk around here with the trophy already. To know that we walk around here with the gold medal around our necks already. Because we're victors. And yes, we're on this earth for this short amount of time. And yes, it's going to be hard. And yes, we're going to have hurdles and battles that we're going to have to face. But you know what? In the long run, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The gate of hell are not going to prevail against this church. And may we always remember that, even when the struggles are personal or for us as a church together. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. John 16, He reminds us, I have overcome the world. And so I'm speaking here to us individually, but also as a church. I know I'm speaking to believers, many believers this morning. But you know, who needs hope? Not just us. You know who needs hope? Our brother. You know who needs hope? My sister. You know who needs hope? My neighbor. You know who needs hope? 7 billion-ish people that are dying and going to hell without hope. They fill their lives full of emptiness and things that give them temporary hope. Today is a day filled with happiness, so people think. They open up gifts and they get the newest Tory Burch whatever, or they get the newest gadget, or they get the newest whatever, and then just for a moment they feel happy and they're walking on cloud nine. Happiness, those things fill that void, and then what happens? They need something else to continue on that drug of happiness. We know that they only see really one side of happiness or one side of that hope. The only side that they see is the side where it's the hope for the pocket knife. But God's given them a gift. God's given them the gift of Jesus Christ. And you know who else? What other gift he's given them? He's given them their Christian neighbor. He's given them the gift of their Christian coworker. He's given them the gift of their Christian family member. Who should be carrying that hope to their hearts? And so hope is for all people. And God has placed you, each one of you individually, where you are. It's not by accident. It is not by accident that God had me move to Ravine Road. It is not by accident that God has you planted where you are. It is not by accident that you get to fly in a plane and sit next to Billy, whoever. It is not by accident, and you fill in the blank. God has planted us each individually and intentionally where He wants us, so that way we may share the gospel of hope with people who are dying and going to hell today. May we continue to understand that all boys and girls and men and women need the hope of Jesus Christ. And so who needs hope? All people need hope. So my question to you this morning is, can others have hope because of you? Because you share hope. Again, as I know, I'm speaking to Christians here, and life is not easy. It's difficult at times. And I hope I have forward-looking faith that whatever it is you're going through in life, you're going to be okay eventually. In His time, you're going to be fine. And you have Christ that is holding your hand through the difficult time. And I hope that and pray that for you. But we're not the only ones. And so I hope that you will. I confidently expect that you will share Jesus Christ with other people. I want to show you a little video that kind of starts at creation and ends at the birth of Christ that maybe will encourage you about hope. And then following this video, we're going to reflect on that second coming of Christ.
to stay.